Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Wade, I got a show to do today, don't I? Oh, I've lost track of time. And, wow. You know what? I think we're live tonight on the Rad Reality Show. We'll be back right after this. Let's get going. To the Rad Reality Show, live on Blog Talk Radio.
And you've found the place where you can talk reality TV. We have special guests all the time, and tonight is going to be fun.
Welcome to everyone in the chat room, all the guests that's listening. Welcome. Welcome to the Rad Reality Show.
Call in at 347-237-5506. And when you do call in, push 1 if you want to talk to the host. Because if you don't push 1, I think you're just listening in.
Welcome, everyone. Tonight is January 26, 2012, and I'd like to thank you all for being here with us tonight for our Reality Roundtable show here on the Rad Reality Show. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'll be your host tonight along with Mr. Paul from Minnesota, who's going to join me in a minute. But before I bring Paul on, I want to make just a few quick little announcements. Number one, most of you probably already know this, but just in case a few of you haven't heard, our dear friend Louis Stravato laid his father to rest this morning, and I just wanted to let Louis know that we are all thinking about him and praying for him. I know he was very, very close with his father, and I know today had to be a very rough day for him, so I wanted to let him know that everyone here at the Rad Reality Show is keeping him in our prayers today and always. But I know that today has to be a rough one for him, so I just wanted to let Louis know that we're all thinking about him. And one of our longtime listeners and supporters of Ron and of the show, Big John, who we all know has been in the hospital for quite some time, who actually went in the hospital on November 10th and spent Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and all that in the hospital, got out of the hospital yesterday and went back home. So I'm so thankful to say, welcome home, Big John. So glad to know that you're back home. I'm so glad to say welcome home, John. Big John, Dan, Chip. We have a few different nicknames for him, but welcome home. I hope that you're feeling better and resting well at home, and we'll get back into the swing of things soon. And I know that your little dog Rascal is very glad to see you at home, so welcome home. And Paul, how are you doing? I know you're up on the air with me, so how are you doing? How is your week so far?
It's been going good, and my condolences to Louis as well. And I'm so happy that Dan's long
vacation
is over. That's almost hard to comprehend, over 2 months in a hospital like that. But we're just hoping that they got things figured out, or the majority of things figured out, and medications or whatever that he's on keeps him at home, and it must be a great reunion with the pet. I mean, they absolutely go crazy when they haven't seen you in a long time, Drew.
Oh, yeah. I just can't imagine being away from my girls for that long. I would just be lost. I couldn't even imagine being away from my girls for that long. I would go crazy. They would have to sneak my girls into the hospital with me. I would be having them sneak my dogs into the hospital room with me. I mean, they're
yeah.
like kids. I would just go nuts.
Absolutely.
I don't know if they'd get my big Afghan in there without somebody seeing her, but I'm sure they could get my little tiny Italian greyhound in the room.
You
Maybe
don't.
Once
okay.
in a while.
Wait a minute. Now, I don't know if I've ever asked you before, but does your little it's an Italian greyhound, correct?
Correct.
Do you have a sweater for that dog?
If you could see my dog right now, Paul, and my husband and I were just talking about this at 8:30, just a few minutes ago. She's actually gotten to the point recently where she's throwing a fit in the morning until we put her jammies on her. She wants
her what?
Clothes on her. She has jammies.
Her jammies?
Yes.
Oh,
I have them made just for her. I have a lady that makes them. I found her online. They have all four little legs in them and a little hood on the back. They're like little
hoodies,
little jammies with a hoodie. Yeah. They're made out of fleece, and they take her measurements, so they're made especially for her. And the one she has on right now has little bears on them, little teddy bears. And they make them just for her with all her measurements, so they fit her perfectly. And she doesn't have a good coat. She's what they call a single-coated dog, and her coat is very, very thin, so she gets cold very easily. She has no body fat whatsoever, so she gets chilled very easily. And in the morning, we get up, and she starts whining and crying and throwing a fit until we put her jammies on. And then she settles down, she's fine. And we couldn't figure out at first what she was so upset about and whining and crying about until my husband finally realized what she was wanting and figured out that she wanted her jammies on. And the last, like, week or so, that's what she's been doing. When she gets up in the morning, she throws a fit until we put them on, and then she...
Well, that's why I asked you about clothing, because I know that breed, and I know it doesn't have much protection. And was just wondering, you know, you're not in a warm climate, or you're not in cold either, but I was just wondering if you did
put clothes on. She probably has
over
30 coats.
And the first time you tried to put them on, did she resist, or how long did it take before she embraced it?
Immediately.
Okay.
And
how
she
about
also
booties?
Sleeps in, she also, no, she doesn't like booties at all. But she does sleep in a snuggle sack.
that is
something that the breed does. If you look online, it's a breed trait. It's like a sleeping bag, and the breed just takes to it. They like to snuggle into something, and I didn't believe it at first, so I just went and got a sleeping bag and laid it on the couch and opened it up, and that dog crawled right into it when she was a little puppy. And I was like, okay, I believe it. And so that's what she sleeps in. But it's bred into them.
Yeah. I want to send out, it's great news, Jody, to hear about your niece. That did you read that in the chat, Cherry?
I didn't.
Jody said, good news here also when we were talking about Dan going home. Her niece, who was in the hospital, had given her a 50-50 chance to make it, is making an amazing recovery.
Wow, that's great news, Jody.
It is great news.
I tell you, we can all use some good news. I hope 2012 is a much better year than 2011 for all of us.
I'm sorry, I'm jumping around, but I just now saw what Ben posted when we were talking about dog clothes. He put a Halloween outfit on his teacup Pomeranian, his palm, one time, and he took a few shots at him with his pocket 25. Oh, my goodness, teacup. That's small.
Those are cute.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, Chi-Town Joe. Hi, Seymour. Hi, Ben. Hi, Jody. Hi, Dina. Lola. Faith. BB Boston, Miss Bronxy, and who else do we have in here? We've got some guests in here.
Yes, welcome guests, whoever you are.
Yes, whoever you may be. I wish we had a way to find out who some of those guests are.
Well, I do know that some of our chatters, and you at times as well, have gotten texts that they are some of our regulars that just have trouble getting into the chat room for whatever reason.
Correct. Sometimes we find out later, you know, that somebody that we know and love dearly, but they just, for some reason, the chat room won't let them in. And
like I said before, I've never had a chat room issue myself, and when I've been able to help people, it's because I've experienced the problems as well. And yes, podcasters, if it sounded like Ben was shooting at his palm, I apologize. That's not it. His dog, he was making a joke, so, oh, geez. No, we don't have those kind of animal haters in our chat, in our family, that I've heard of, or that have admitted to it, at least.
I certainly hope not.
Yeah. I want to mention before. I hope it doesn't get as bad as me being behind on Voice, and I don't remember if I mentioned it just to you on the phone or I've mentioned on the. I did mention on the air. I still haven't caught up on last season's, but I am way behind on the opening auditions. I watched the first hour of the first show, and I haven't watched the subsequent shows, except for when you mentioned that Reed guy, I went and listened to him. But I am behind on that. Are they continuing showing more performances, valid performances, as opposed to the jokes?
Yeah, tonight they did show a few more of the whack jobs.
Yeah, we tried to think of fine ways to put it, but yeah.
For lack of a better term. But they also showed, you know, some very talented singers. So I found it really interesting tonight that the judges really disagreed on some people. I mean, strongly disagreed. Let me bring. Welcome, Miss Dina. Thank you for calling the Rad Reality Show. How are you, girl?
Well, good evening, Cherry, Paul, listeners. How are you?
Hi, Dina.
Hi, Paul.
Oh, my goodness. Jim Carrey's daughter auditioned?
Yes.
Wow.
She had an appointment, Paul. She was special.
She, she got her own appointment.
Yes, she sure did. She didn't even stand in line. She rolled up in a limousine and went right on.
Oh, my goodness.
Sang her heart out and went through.
And she was, who did all, did they all three give her a yes? Because there's some chatters who don't think that she was that good.
I didn't find her to be extremely good. I've seen better. I've seen people who've stood in line for all day long to get in there.
But Cherry, you said that there was a lot of judges' disagreements. What about Jim Carrey's daughter? Did she get three yeses?
Average. I think she did get three yeses. I think some of the girls that they turned away tonight were as good, if not better, than her. And the two guys said no, and Jennifer Lopez was having a fit. I mean, she was like, what is going on here? You guys are going to watch this back and freak out. You guys are going to watch this back and wonder what in the hell you guys did. And she couldn't believe that they were turning these girls away. She's like, you guys are sending people through that suck and putting people through that can't sing. And that's what they were doing. She was right. And they turned away two really, really good singers and put one through that absolutely could not sing at all.
Is it girls versus boys type of thing that's going on?
All three of those were women.
And they were good. Two of them in particular were very, very
exceptional.
They were better than most.
And you guys said no, and Jennifer Lopez was just beside herself.
But we did have a revolution tonight.
Yeah, the revolution guy. Alejandro Cazares.
Holy cow. All right, explain it, girls.
He wanted a revolution.
He wanted
a world where people like Lady Gaga can sing and people like what was the other thing?
Help, Dina.
I'm trying to think of
one other thing he said. People like Barack Obama can be president. That's what it was.
Yes.
And they're all sitting there like, isn't that the world we're living in? And then he says, well, I've been the underdog for most of my life. And he went into the story, and then they asked him to sing, and he was just horrible. And so then he commenced to begging, and they had to have, like, him ushered off the stage.
Okay. Apparently there is a couple of people that felt a girl named Bailey Brown was good. I was going to, before you answer your opinions, how many, have they been sending through a lot of 15, 16-year-olds?
They've put through some younger ones. Bailey Brown is 21. She had auditioned before when she was 16. She auditioned in San Antonio. She made it as far as Hollywood, but she didn't get along real well with the two other girls that she was doing the audition with in Hollywood. You know how they had to sing on stage with three people in a three-person audition, and they sort of went around. They would sing together, and then they would break apart, and each one of them would come up and do, like, a solo of a portion of the song. And she wasn't jiving with the two other girls that she was in that group with. And the other two got put forward, and she was sent home.
She also had forgotten her lyrics on stage.
Yeah, that's right. She had forgotten some of her words. But she had really, really grown up and...
Now,
both maturity and in her vocals since 16, and they loved her, and she did really sound good. She was beautiful.
I'm surprised I don't remember. I guess once I see Bailey, I will, because I was so involved last year in doing all my YouTubes and stuff. Did they show any clips of her from last year that would help me say, oh yeah, I remember her?
It wasn't last year. It was when she was 16 when she...
This was season 6, I believe, she mentioned tonight.
Oh, you said, yeah, you just said she's 21 now. Okay.
So.
I like the little girl from Louisiana. She sang very well. She was the one that was riding around on the four-wheelers and had the big fat buck.
Skylar Lane.
Yes, yes.
From Mississippi.
Yes. Oh, was it from Mississippi?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Now, her parents had Beauty Street Grocery that they've had for 70 years. Is that the one?
Yes, yes, the grocery store, yes.
I love her, yeah.
Yes.
I was going to ask, I remember as they launched the premiere show, they said one new thing they were doing this year was giving, you know, video cameras to their contestants, you know, the POVs. And I'm wondering how they came to choose these people. They didn't really ever answer that, but that's one thought that went through my head. So have they been still using that on these shows, the contestants with their own little video diaries?
Some of them do have, you know, like a video diary. Like I don't know if she recorded it, though. Skylar Lane, this looks more like professionally done. You know how they go back and do sort of a bio on some of them.
Yeah, the backstories.
Right. They went back and showed, you know, where she's from and how her family has owned this little tiny country grocery store for 70. It's been in her family for 70 years. And she said if she can make it in music, she wants to, you know, make sure that store is kept in her family, you know, forever. And you can tell that she just has that heart in her. You know, she really has family and that hometown spirit in her. And some of them, they told a little bit more backstory than others. I don't know if it really seemed like many of them had a camera of their own.
Okay. But do you remember they brought that up on the premiere show, that was something they were doing differently? I just always wonder how the producers, you know, get involved with building up some of these people, because we do need some of that to get invested. I mean, listen, you know, the songs, sure, that we get connected with, but remember that guy, I think it was last year, who was singing and his fiance was in that terrible automobile accident.
Yes, yes.
I mean,
oh my goodness.
Everybody, you know, was.
Paul, they had
invested.
A guy at the end of the show this tonight that has that same sort of heartstrings tugging story. His name is Ramiro Garcia. He's a worship leader at a church, and he was born with no ears.
Whoa.
And he said, they sort of toyed with the story a bit. He said before the break that he was born different. And then when they came back from break, you know, he started telling a story that he was born with no ears, and at 4 years old, they started doing surgeries to rebuild his ears, and they noticed that he did have an ear canal, and he was having to have plastic surgeries, you know, after surgeries, and they initially said that he was going to be mute, that he would never hear or speak. And once they started doing these surgeries, you know, they found deep in there, you know, an ear canal, and they, you know, was able to build an ear and on both sides, basically. And long story short, here he is today with a gorgeous voice, you know, on American Idol singing. And he sang Amazing Grace.
Oh, wow, love that.
Yeah.
If it's done right. I love how we get little bits of information, always do, from our chatters. Jody reminded us that the guy whose fiance was in that car wreck's name was Chris Medina.
Yeah.
And she also added that he is huge in Sweden, which...
Wow.
Yeah. Who looks like Josh Cratchit? I'd love Josh on The X Factor, by the way. Anyway. Oh, Chris Medina. Okay, maybe that's what she's saying. Hey, before I forget, I wrote it down, but I just want to... It's off idle, but... I wanted to tell everybody, because I'd mentioned about this tattoo show that Lydia was going to be on.
Yes.
They finally, on the website, announced the premiere date. It's going to be on the cable show Oxygen, and it's called Best Ink, and its premiere date is March 27th.
Awesome.
For the longest time, all it said was to be determined, or, you know, they didn't have a starting date yet, so.
So that's not that far away.
No.
So another new show. Well, I tell you, we've got more reality shows than we can keep up with.
All right. Well, you got me to watching Sweet Home Alabama. And I don't know how many of our chatters watch that or not, but I started watching it, and I was incorrect when I talked to you on the phone, Cherry. I said that Paige Duke, who is the bachelorette on Sweet Home Alabama, she was on Tribble's season. She wasn't
right.
on The Bachelor. She was on the season before.
Prior, that's right.
Yeah, she was eliminated in the top nine or whatever because she actually had known Tribble when they went to school at Clemson and just felt that they were just buddies, you know, from college as opposed to... anyways, I don't know. Okay, sweet... Ben asked what it was. Sweet Home Alabama is kind of based on, and I never saw the movie, but this was just what I was reading on the internet. There was a movie called Sweet Home Alabama who was the actress in it? Help me out. You guys don't.
No. I watched the movie, but I can't read. I can see her face. Does this no good.
But apparently in that movie it was, you know, a Southern Belle type of thing who had city boys from the north and Southern guys or something. Was that correct, Dina?
Yes.
So this is kind of a Bachelor TV show on CMT, right?
Yes, CMT. Country.
And it's all based in the South. They have bachelors and bachelorettes. This is actually their third season. And the first season was a bachelorette, and one of those bachelors from that season became the bachelor on season two, And now there's season three with a bachelorette that came from season two, and her name is Paige Duke. But it's basically the focal point is these are Southerners that have half Southern boys and half Northern boys or city boys vying for her affection or his affection as it was last year. And it adds a dynamic of the North versus the South. You know, all the Southern people, you know, hate on the Northerners, and the Northerners hate on the, you know, so it's got this natural built-in animosity amongst the contestants. But it's, to me, quite similar to
The Bachelor and the Bachelorette.
I did find some interesting information, though, on the current Bachelorette, Paige Duke. She had been Miss Sprint Cup NASCAR, and she was stripped of that title because a college boyfriend of hers who took nude photos released them, and they then stripped her of her title. She's from Lancaster, South Carolina, which is north, or not that far, I guess, from Charleston, South Carolina. What was really interesting is her grandfather's brother, who would be her great uncle, was Charles Duke. And if that name doesn't ring a bell, Charles Duke was the 10th man to walk on the moon. The other interesting thing, and for those of us who watch Survivor, on this current season, and he's still in the running, one of the bachelors from the city, no, he's considered a Southerner, is the ex-husband of Whitney from Survivor, Donnie Fallgatter. And he talked about his wife went on the show and met a guy on an island. They never said Survivor, but immediately I go, oh, my God, it's Whitney's ex-husband. So do you watch the show, Dina?
I do. I've just started watching recently. I find it all a bit amazing, though. And it's like what you're just saying, it's all little inner circles, people who know one another, and they get into this lifestyle, and they run with it. And I say good for them. I think it's very interesting.
She had actually fallen in love for the first time when those photos were taken. And she said that she sent him a few photos that no one should ever share, you know, with anyone but someone that you're in love with. And, you know, she told the story herself, and she said, I never thought or dreamt that he would ever, you know, do something like this to me. But he put them on the internet, and when he did that, it cost her job with NASCAR, and she was absolutely devastated about it, and she had no idea what to do. She was just torn up, and she didn't know how she was going to trust again. She was just torn up, and she went to her pastor and prayed about it, and that's when she decided to go on to the show last year, and vie for Tribble's heart. I can't say that name without laughing. I just don't know how somebody can name a child Tribble. I just don't. But she was voted out somewhat early, or sent home, I should say, not really voted out.
I went back on the internet, Cherry. I went back to see when she was, because I couldn't find any listing of so-and-so left at number such-and-such. So I actually found the episode clip, and she was in the top nine, and she got eliminated. Two girls got eliminated that night, that girl from L.A. with the big boobs.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch last season, but I thought you might remember if I said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got eliminated that night, so she was only in the top nine.
Yeah. But I think she really went through a lot when those photos were put on the internet, and it really caused her to do a lot of soul searching, and she could have either really, gone introverted
into a shell,
right? Or she could have done what she's doing and said, well, it was a lesson learned, and
well, she did get some jobs right after that too, and one of them dropped her into a company called Kruger Farms in Starbuck, Minnesota, and Minnesota. She started. She's a hunter, and she's promoting hunting gear and stuff for Kruger Farms. So
she wakes up and she cooks breakfast, and then she takes them out on little excursions with the gear, with the guns and the gear and stuff, and takes them out on little hunting excursions up there on the farm, and shows them around on the farm, and that's her job, and she said what a job it is, she loves it. So I guess for a country girl, that's a perfect job.
All right, so it's been several shows we haven't talked at all about Biggest Loser. And
oh, wait a minute.
Before
we move on from Sweet Home Alabama. Let's talk a little bit about this past episode.
Episode 2. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, yes, you are going to. I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah. One of the guys that is there, he is just adorable.
I think he's like 21 or something, right? He's fairly young.
He's fairly young. He had, just before he left, he had his best friend, partner, pet.
He has been a rodeo, I think you would call him a rodeo, I don't know, he ropes cattle, that part of a rodeo, not riding bulls or anything like that, but he, the ones
cattle
where they're on,
yeah. But his best friend, his horse, and four other horses was stolen from his ranch in the middle of the night. And his horse was called Credit Card. He goes, never leave home without him. And
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to say this, Cherry. You know how they do background stories? They introduced this guy and showed him on his horse, and he talked about his horse well before what you're about to say. So, this was really unexpected. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. They had shown him on his horse. Paul's right. They had shown him on Credit Card and how much he loved the horse and how they were, so close and so inseparable prior to us hearing this story. And then on the second episode, he gets the first date with Paige, and on that date, he is able to tell her that he was the person that had five horses stolen from his stable, and one of the horses was his partner, his best friend, his baby, Credit Card. And she sat up and was like, I heard that story. I cried over that story. And tears came to her eyes, and she just instantly connected with him, and she really was heartbroken over it, and they really connected over this. And he couldn't believe that she had actually heard about it. She had heard about it not only on the news, but also apparently it was all over Twitter. And so they talked about it, and she said she'd pray that, you know, he got credit card back. And so then I guess a couple of days had passed, and then you saw in the house he was there with all the guys. Like, guys all have to live in the same house. And he was telling one of the guys that his father had called, and they had found credit card. And the guy asked if credit card was alive, and he said no. And this guy literally just broke down and cried. And I mean, he cried. And it was one of the most heart-wrenching things I had ever seen, to see this man cry over this horse. It was so hard. And he actually went out and told Paige when she came up to the house about his horse passing. And so they've actually got a connection over this horse, and I think it may take him a little ways in the show because of this connection. But it was so hard. The reason that credit card passed was because whoever stole him tied him up to a tree and just basically did not feed or water him at all. And so he basically starved to death. And he kept saying, you know, I know he's wondering where I was and why I wasn't feeding him and watering him. And it was just really sad. So the second episode, if you decide to watch it, I'm warning you now, get your tissue box out before you watch episode 2 because you'll need it. It's a sad one. So now we can move on.
Dina dropped off. And
she's
a couple
back.
Somebody. Yeah, I don't know what happened because a couple people dropped off.
She had to change phones.
Okay, Dina. What about what about Face?
He was having problems with his computer. I don't know.
I think he's back on. I see him on the chat. I see him in the chat.
Okay.
It's good to see House Rodin back.
It is.
I posted his newest video link in there for people to see as well. So I had brought up Biggest Loser, and it was kind of nice only to have an hour show. It's one of my issues with some of these shows that they're 2 hours long.
I know.
And
it is hard to watch some of the two-hour shows.
And it was just an hour show because State of the Union was on. But holy crap. These people on that last show, did you watch the show the other night?
Yes.
Yeah. Wanting to quit and whining and complaining. And I was somewhat disappointed that now I'm going to forget. I am going to forget her name. The older woman that Bob was constantly saying, come on, come on. What was her name?
Nancy.
She ended up getting double-digit loss. You know, it was like, whoa, you didn't expect that because you see, you know, how much she was resisting working out. But Conda, that was the other one that was just bitching and whining.
I can't believe the one guy did leave. I just can't
Oh, thanks, Michelle Bronxy. It was Gail.
Gail, that's right.
Yeah.
Nancy's the other older lady. But the one guy just left. I mean, and there's so many people that try to get on that. And you know who I thought of when he left? Was Johnny. You know, there's so many people that went on that show that would have loved to have had that spot.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, that is certainly the variable, too. I mean, they need to be on there, and a lot of people miss their, you know, families, you know, but that's the other variable is they want to be on, you know. There's other people that would have taken that spot, you know.
It's just, and then I was kind of disappointed in the when the two girls had the individual competition against each other. It was just kind of for fun, and the one girl accused the other of cheating.
I know.
I was just really, I was like, come on! And then she was so nasty about going and getting her the Subway sandwich. I was just like, that's just rude. Grow up. You know?
Yeah. So, are we all sure? I long time ago felt that they would make it back on, but the Aqua couple, the brother and sister who had to go home?
I think they'll get back on.
I do too. Did you see, maybe, were you going to bring Face up on the air?
Yeah,
or was he having, because he had some really, I was just going to mention, Tom, what you said in the chat room about Cotter, and I thought, well, why don't we wait till you come on the phone? So.
Welcome, Face. You're on the Rad Reality Show.
Hey. How y'all doing?
We're
doing
good.
That's good.
So, for the podcasters, for those that didn't read the chat, tell us about the character from Cotter.
Oh, I guess Welcome Back, Carter. Juan Epstein, I guess they call him. Back then,
yes.
I mean, his real name is Robert Higgins. He died at age of 60. They said a apparent heart attack, but they do not know right at the moment.
Who died?
Guy played on
Juan Epstein
on Welcome Back, Carter.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was apparent heart attacks, I guess. So just recently, like today, I think. I'm not sure, but looks like it's recent. I just seen it on, somebody tweeted about it a minute ago somewhere.
What a shame, I tell you.
Hi, Bronxy.
It's so sad.
Man,
the older we get, it seems like the more
I can remember, I can remember a lot of his sayings and stuff.
Oh,
funny.
My God. House Rodent.
It's like 4 years. I think it was only on about 5 years, but, man, it's like reruns. Everybody watches it now. It's like one of the popular reruns.
I love the song for that show. That's just one of my favorite theme songs.
I used to know who sang that and who it was, but I forget now.
I think it had one of the best theme songs ever. Well, besides Mob Wives.
Yeah, Mob Wives is pretty good. I think that's probably the best one of I heard this year, at least.
John Sebastian.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
John Sebastian, welcome back.
Dina.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to take us into
all right, before
our big redneck vacation?
Oh, shit.
I know. Well, Paul has some clips for us.
I do have some clips, but in honor of Welcome Back, Cotter.
Oh! Oh, oh, oh!
So loud.
Was it? I'm sorry.
That's the way it was on the show.
Lower the volume on that then. Let's move on to what I think, thank you, Dina, will be one of my new favorite shows.
Oh, how embarrassing.
Why? All right. Chatters, who in the chat room has watched my big redneck vacation? Are you watching that, Face?
Yeah, I've watched the first show. There's only been one.
Right.
So this Saturday will be the next second one.
Right, and they are, you search your TV listings because they are repeating episode one, and it is certainly worth watching. And if you're not watching it, I did upload about a little over 3 minute long clip that will introduce you to what this show is about. So I'm going to go ahead and play that now. Is that okay, Cherry?
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Tom Arnold, and welcome to my big redneck vacation. Meet the Clampett.
Hey, we're the Clampett family.
That's right, the Clampett. They're an all-American family rooted in deep Southern traditions and values. Now, this rowdy bunch has never strayed more than a couple hours from their hometown.
As far as vacation, furthest we'll go is, like, Alabama.
Their idea of a summer vacation is hunting and fishing and, oh, yeah, mudding. So, naturally, we here at CMT are plucking this group from the only home they've ever known and planting them for the summer in one of the richest, most exclusive vacation destinations on the planet. The Hamptons in New York. It's the ultimate cultural collision. We introduce the North to some good old Southern charm where they'll be living high on the hog. So get ready while the Clampett family saddles up for their cross-country trip to their $4.5 million summer rental. $4.5 million! Who you gotta marry to get one of those things?
My name's Amy.
I'm Chris.
We're from Shreveport, Louisiana. We've been dating 3 years.
Meet Chris and Amy. They're pretty much the duct tape that holds this whole family together. Well, them and Bud Light.
I got a daughter, Christian. She's 17.
My two children are from a previous marriage. My daughter's Morgan, and she's 14 years old. My son Mason, he's 10. He killed his first deer last year. It's a proud moment for me as a mama.
Hey, I'm Jared.
Hey, I'm Michelle. I love Jared.
I don't know.
This is not Larry the Cable Guy. It's Chris's little brother, Jared, and his fiancée, Michelle. And if you're looking to kill a case of beer or any kind of animal, he's the dude. And Michelle's all right with that.
We've been dating for a little over 2 years now, and we're engaged.
Michelle is our Yankee in the family. She's from Arkansas.
I'm Wendy.
I'm Doug.
Our relationship is great.
Great. Yep. And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Meet Chris and Jared's cousin Doug and his wife Wendy. He's a master of sarcasm, and she hasn't smiled in 3 years, which is coincidentally how long they've been married. Sounds familiar.
Doug. Hmm.
There's only one of them out there, thank God.
She's a little mouth owner. What are we doing out there at Chris's today?
Get you to hold a beer can and see if we can hit it.
Shut up. He is the aggravator.
Wendy!
What?
What else do I need to pack?
I have 2 kids to pack for. I don't need 3.
We got Brody James. He'll be 5 in October, and Presley just turned 2.
Brody is a very unique kid. Brody started his obsession with vacuums right here. He's about 1. He's 4.5 now and can tell you just about every single kind of vacuum.
I promise to God he didn't get vacuuming from his mama.
Who cleans the house?
Brody.
I love to hunt, but Tammy's definitely the biggest rack I ever mounted.
And lastly, we've got Amy's sister Tammy and her new boyfriend Tommy. They don't always fit in, but they're always welcome.
We've been dating for about 6 months.
You love me? Please don't. Please don't.
I love you.
They love each other.
One of them.
Mm-hmm. Kissy.
It'll wear off.
That ain't no lie.
I hope you guys that aren't watching got a little taste of it. It is hilarious.
Yes, they actually took their chickens on vacation.
Yeah, I didn't include that clip. Dina.
I love it. I love this show. I wish to God that my, and I don't mean anything bad when I say these people, but I swear to God I know these people. Hell, I have family members like these people, and I probably live next door to these people. So I love it. I think it's great. And I think that in the long run, I've seen clips, you know, they show these little show clips of future shows, but I think in some weird oddball way, these rednecks are actually going to make a difference and to the people of the good people of Hamptons. I think they will.
Yeah, I think they'll all learn from each other in some distorted way.
What do you think about Tom Arnold, though? Was he not hilarious in this, though?
He is.
Yes. He is perfect for this show. What they stop the videos at times, and he pops in to make a little comment about them, and it fits the show perfectly. But
when they went, Joe just mentioned when they went into town for food shopping. Oh my gosh, I was rolling.
All right. You got to share
some of the things they asked for. I couldn't believe people actually ate that stuff. And the poor guy behind the counter was actually so straight-faced. And he was really trying to help him, and he didn't even crack a smile. I was like, how can that guy stand there and not bust out laughing? I would have...
They asked if they were talking to a butcher, and they were asking for all sorts of southern kind of meats, and they asked if he had raccoon, and I think he said that he'd probably get them or something, and one of the ladies says, do they have to have their feet still on them, because
so they can
otherwise
tell
yeah go
apart
ahead
apart from something else
they're a pet cat.
Oh, Lord. What was the rat they were at? They wanted a stuffed rat.
I know.
It was stuffed with some sort of food product, and it was just so disgusting. And he was like, well, I can't get you one of those, but I can get you this other kind of rat. And I was like, oh, my God, I got to leave the room for a minute. I couldn't believe that people were actually talking about eating rats. I mean, and they didn't even have to. They're not even on Survivor. They're in frickin' Hamptons. You know, they're in the Hamptons and they're eating rats. I was like, this does not compute with me. If you're on Survivor and you haven't eaten in like 21 days, okay, I can see maybe two or three people maybe turning to eating a rat. Not everybody, but maybe a couple of people. But
all right.
These Dina, people were doing it in the Hamptons.
Yeah. Dina, you mentioned to Michelle about it's a good show to watch after you've been drinking. You'll just crack up. I don't drink, and I was cracking up. Now, I also heard Cherry say that you made some kind of a bet. You want to share that bet and tell me the results, Cherry?
Dina told me to tell Rich, my husband, to watch the show, and that if he didn't laugh, she would buy him a steak dinner. So I told Rich when he got home last night that she had told me to tell him this. So he watched American Idol first, And then he looked over at me, and normally he'll only watch one show, and then we usually go on to bed. And he looked over at me after Idol, and he goes, okay, he goes, you piqued my curiosity. He goes, I'm going to check this show out. So he started the show, and he wound up watching it all the way through. And after it ended, he goes, well, I guess you can tell your friend she's off the hook for a steak dinner. As much as I don't like to say that, because I really would have liked a steak dinner. So he enjoyed the show. He laughed through it, and he was really tired. So, and he said, "Just what we need, another reality show we're hooked on." So thanks, Dina.
You're welcome. Tell you what, I'll send the steak dinner up there anyway, just for the mere fact that. Watch and tell them it won't be the rodent, the stuffed rodent. That's what I really should send. If go online and find some really redneck dinner and have it prepared and send it on dry ice or something up there.
No.
A gallon of sweet tea.
I already have that.
Well, it is going to be a great show. You got to watch the opening episode. I was thinking about grabbing all sorts of the funny moments, and there were too many to grab. They are a hilarious mixture, and I can't wait to see how little five-year-old Brody comes into play, because that kid is strange.
Yeah, that little one is something else.
He's into vacuum cleaners
and hair dryers and doing his hair. And
when they were in their Hampton house, this $4.5 million rental, and they had a piece of Brody looking for vacuum cleaners, and he has what are those old handheld ones called? Dustbuster. He had a Dustbuster in his hand, but that wasn't good enough. He had to find another one. And I was so convinced, I don't know about you guys, but I was so convinced this was going to be one of these central vacuum cleaners. Have you ever seen those in houses?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I thought, he's going to be so disappointed, because I bet you it's one of these central vacs where you just plug the hose into the side of the wall in each room. And he finds a Dyson, and he said he didn't think that it was very good because it wasn't a Hoover.
He likes a Hoover better than a Dyson, huh?
Yeah. Anyway, it was funny. But when they showed at the end of the show what the season was going to be like, it even added more layers to my anticipation. And this is the other clip that I grabbed. And it's basically called, you know, how they end the first episodes with, this is what you'll see this season. And so let's play that clip now.
Let's take a look at what they're about to get into. Spoiler alert, it's awesome! This season of my big redneck vacation.
Ready to get the party started?
Welcome to New York!
Now we're in the real New York.
We run into a little problem. I done lost my power brakes.
Where are you located?
That's a $1 million question.
I think we've all pretty much decided we don't exactly fit in.
We're new to the neighborhood and going to be having a little gathering.
Any of you guys hunt?
No.
No?
You ever had deer?
Nope.
You ever had pig?
Oh, yeah.
He was interested in what we're cooking on the grill today.
We got some gator, some coon. We'll have some snakes on there in a little bit.
Really?
I'm the founding director of the Etiquette School of New York in Manhattan.
Wow.
When someone takes your bread, what do you do?
Stab it with your fork.
When you taste it, you don't want to just have it go straight down.
Bud Light smells better.
You know, any country music, that's country enough for me. We are going to hang out.
What y'all doing out there?
Polo.
Polo.
Come on, yeah!
Who's your daddy? I said, who's your daddy? Tell me right now, what's his name?
Hey, everybody, I got an announcement to make.
me and her is here. We're getting married in a few weeks. And we'd like all y'all to come.
Privacy, we need to talk about this wedding crap.
I just don't know about a fella telling me how to do no wedding.
Hi.
I'm Michael.
Michelle, I just wanted to tell you how beautiful this dress could really look.
Oh,
right now, the Category 3 storm moving north.
Well, it's going to hit us pretty square.
You need some help with anything?
Casey, we're just going to show y'all how we like to party in the South.
I think I just stepped in Morgan's pink.
Oh, it's on.
Oh, I've never done anything like that.
How would you describe a true groundhog
meat?
Like chicken? Yeah, that's what they said about the alligator.
This was a very real experience, and
we have a new family.
Gonna cry?
You guys have come into our neighborhood and our lives, and you taught me how to just let go and have fun.
A lot of fun up here. A lot more different than I thought it would have been.
Not only did we make a difference on the Hamptons, but these people made a difference on me.
One love for two.
It's been fun, y'all.
We have some friends at home that could learn the same lesson we have learned.
What is that?
Holy I thought that was Jesus there for a minute. Walking on water. Where'd he come from? Coffee must be
wow. I wish I had been taking notes because there were so many things in that clip. I mean, having the wedding planner as a gay wedding planner, that's going to... Oh, one of the couples, the one that was introduced saying that they're, you know, engaged and going to get married in a couple months, decide that they're going to have the wedding in the Hamptons. And so they hire this wedding planner. And he turns out to be gay. And just, there's so many things that came out of that.
Hey, Paul, the next airing, on the show is tonight at 1:30 in the morning. So you can set, anybody can set their DVRs if they don't want to set up. And then the newest episode will come on at 9:30 Saturday night.
Yes, it airs.
Yeah,
new episodes are on Saturday evenings.
Yes. And why don't I see it here? CMT.
Should be on there.
I think when I... Go ahead.
CMT, Jody.
What I wanted to know is what did you think when they took down that fine work off the wall and put the deer heads up instead? I mean, you've got $1 million sitting on a wall and you're going to go down and you're going to put up the buck that you killed 7 years ago.
Yeah, and then in a little clip, they showed one of the girls saying that deer who they now hung on the wall. He's looking at me. I mean, oops, hold on here.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, they actually took the deer heads off their walls at home, put them in the back seat, put the seatbelts on them because he said safety first. So they rode in the back seat of the truck because it's one of those trucks with the back seat in it, and strapped it in so the deer heads would be safe, and drove all the way to the Hamptons with the deer heads in the back seats. And then hung them on the wall above their beds so that they would, I guess, feel at home or would have their deer heads with them. At the Hamptons.
They are also repeating the premiere episode Saturday morning on Spike, on the Spike channel. So, and then again in the afternoon on CMT, there's going to be a couple more re-airings of that show, just so you guys. There you go. Amy's already got it scheduled on her DVR.
Great. Let me bring somebody else up here. Mr. Chi-Town Joe, you're on the Rad Reality Show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm wonderful.
I think that's the best show on TV, really, right now. I mean...
Wait a minute. What about Mob Wives? It's a different kind of show, though, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
But
this is real. I mean, Mob Wives. I like Mob Wives. I really do. But these people are really literally picked out of a little holler and thrown into that, that really rich and small town in the Hamptons, as Cherry was describing, when they go shopping and then they have that big motorhome and that sound of their horn. Dina, what is that song again? Does anybody know that song? Yeah, right.
It's a Dixie Homeland song.
Yeah, it just cracked you up.
It's the horn from the General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Right, bingo.
Yeah,
bingo. And then when what was missed on that thing, Paul, when you said you wish you could describe everything at the end, and when the guys are saying, I thought that was Jesus Christ, right? It was a guy that was standing on a surfboard, and he had a paddle, and you couldn't see the surfboard, and he thought it was Jesus Christ. It's going to be a funny series. And if you watch it on Saturday night, which I'm going to lead into something that I know Dina watches too, and I think Cherry watches, that show's on for an hour, and it could go on for longer, but I think they've got it just right. But right before that is the Bayou Billionaire show.
Yeah,
and that's another one that makes you crack up.
Love
that
you,
family
you feel
is
better, babe.
That family is dysfunctional, totally.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
Joe, did you happen to watch The Challenge?
Yes, I did.
I loved it.
I figured Nate would go first.
Yes, our people from the real world didn't do so well. Nate fell off of that thing, three times?
Yeah, I watched that season from the real world, and I always had a feeling, and I don't want to say this, but I always thought that he always was a little, and he was the one that came up with that living memory, is that what you call it, Cherry?
The living memory?
Yeah, he invented that, Nate.
Right.
But I always thought he was a little, sussed up. You know, he always seemed like he was a little buzzed, you know, not on drugs or anything, but had a couple of drinks. And
when he premiered that, he was just wasted. On that premiere night.
Yeah.
He was just, you know, the roommates were upset with him because he got so drunk that night.
Yeah. But it was...
I tell you, that challenge, though, on those beams with the honey, I don't know how they were able to walk across that without... I'm amazed one person fell.
Unbelievable, huh, Paul?
Yeah, they were suspended above a body of water on this, and they had to walk between this narrow beam, and they are couples, and one person
they hate each other.
Yeah, and one person had to
basically
they had to walk across this narrow beam to a bathtub full of honey. They had to get the honey all over their body, then walk back across the beam, and their partner had to scrape the honey off into this big
bucket.
And each time they walked across the beam, of course, this honey is dripping down onto the top of the beam, and they subsequently, you know, have to walk through this honey on the beam, and it looks like oil. I mean, I can't believe more people didn't fall off. And if they fell off, they fell about 25 feet into water and had to climb up this rope ladder to get back into the competition. And I tell you, that was... Those competitions, I've watched a few of those challenges seasons, and they have some pretty dangerous things. And I think every year, every season, don't they have somebody that goes off in an ambulance from these challenges? I mean,
either that or somebody gets punched in the face while they're drunk, you know. But this year is a little bit different because they're all exes, and I maybe can count, because they started off with 26, and now they're down to 24. But the first opening challenge, and these people can't stand each other, 9 out of 10, you know. They have them in Speedos, very little wear to wear, right? And they have, like you say, Paul, they have to get into that thing and come up and walk across that beam while it's starting to drip. And then the other person, if it was a male laid in and came across, the girl had to, with her hands, how do you want to put it?
They use their hands like a squeegee, like a, you know, scraping off a window that you're cleaning. They use their hands like a squeegee to scrape off every bit of honey, and you don't want to leave it on their shorts. You don't want to leave it on their sports bra. So, I mean, they're...
Yeah. Every crevice, I would say, that was, you know, you could see, you know, they had to do that. And to put them all through that as the first thing to do, well, they got to know each other again real quick, I would assume, you know.
Yeah, they got that reacquaintance out of the way real quick.
They certainly did, didn't they?
So did the elimination, the duel or whatever they call that in the dome, what do they call that competition?
I forgot what they call it. I know it's in the dome.
No, but I mean when they go in, do they call it a duel or something like that? But at any rate, did that remind you of any?
Yes, it did off of Big Brother.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Evil Dick one.
Yep.
That one for
except
what? But they didn't have the rain. But it was...
The bunny hop on or something like that.
Yeah, that was the one where Evil Dick went for, what, 7 hours with the rain,
yep,
too?
Yeah, almost 7.
Yeah. And
like a little bit over.
Right, but they showed it. I don't know if anybody caught it. It took over 2 hours and, 20 minutes before they had winners, you know? But it was interesting. Yeah, where they stole that from. I'm sure they're going to be stealing a lot of ideas. But it was good. It was really good. I think people should, you know, we're all getting kind of geared up for Survivor again, and for especially, I think, a lot of us for the Tar Show, and with Louis, God bless him, and his and you know, they broke all the news yesterday. I think, was it yesterday, Cherry, where they laid out everybody and talked about it, and they had everybody's promo for it. So it's all over. So it'll be like nice. Yeah, that's right. Kid's right. It's like the BBA challenge, you know. So, and it's interesting, you know, because at least they get around and they can drink a lot. So we're going to be seeing a lot of fights. But I thought Dustin did really well. they wanted to kick him out real quick, get rid of the rookies is what they were saying.
Right,
but,
they always do that. They want to get rid of those rookies.
Yeah, and I was surprised Dustin did so well, because this is the first time he's back out in the, on TV after his unfortunate outing on Road Rules, not Road Rules,
Real World,
from two seasons ago.
Right. Yeah, he had a...
Yeah, it was rough on
him.
Yeah, he had a really rough time. And Leroy's there, too, and he's good. And these girls are going to be great.
I love Leroy.
Yeah, he seems to be... I hadn't had the... you met him, right, Cherry?
Yes, yes.
He seems to be a really nice, straight-up guy, you know?
Kid Chick says Johnny Bananas is his fave.
But he's gonna be a force to deal with in this, with these other guys that think that just because they've been on the challenges, you know, a few times that they're better than him, because this guy, he's built and he's strong and he still does garbage disposal, so, and he's smart. Yeah, you're right, Gabor. So that's my two cents for the week.
It's going to be really interesting to see how those exes all get along. You know, there's very few of them in there that are actually getting along and communicating well with each other. The rest
right.
of them are just dreading every moment with each other. And it's going to be interesting to see how they progress.
And, yeah, especially when they really start to drink a lot. Maybe some of that old flair will come back because of the, you know, the closeness, I should say. You know, because that, all of them did have a big, major crush on each other at one point or another.
Well, there's one of them that was just a
one-night stand. Well, that was Nate. And that girl, and I was surprised because when they filmed that, she was only 16.
Well, there's another on there that was just a one-night stand. That was from the old Real World Road Rules.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to remember his name and her name, and it's not coming to me right now, but by next week I will let you know which two they are. But there is another one-night stand duo on there. And she was absolutely dreading being his partner. And it's going to be interesting to see how they get along.
They don't pay them a lot to win. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's not a lot of money.
I was wondering, is that the amount that they, I think, first $150,000, was that each or split amongst the two of them?
I think they split it amongst the two of them. It wasn't a lot of money.
Yeah, so.
Like 100, what is it? Like
150, I think.
Oh,
yeah, 150 for first, 150 for first, 100 for second, and 40,000 for third. So half that you split it in half for the pair, I guess, for each.
Yeah, and then they had I don't know if you know because MTV always goes a minute late. They showed coming attractions. But they were showing them, it must be the people who won, because they go on to another challenge, and they're like in the Himalaya Mountains or something, with snow all around them. And that's down the road. I don't think that would be a spoiler alert, because I don't know who wins, you know, but...
No.
So it's, you know, who knows. But it looks like a good show. I think we're going to have a really good season, you know, with everything coming up, you know.
I think it's going to be a wonderful season.
It's going to be a DVR season, for sure.
We have so many reality shows to keep up with, and we haven't even touched base on Top Chef yet.
I know.
And I can't even believe we haven't started talking about Top Chef at all yet this season, and I really would like to start doing that, but I don't even know where to fit it in. I don't know where to fit Top Chef in at. I love that show. I am behind one episode right now. It's sitting on my TiVo. But I would love to get Top Chef in. Kid Shecky, Teen Mom 2. I love that show. I watch that show religiously. There's just so many shows that I'm watching right now. I don't know where to fit them all in. And I know Dina and I have talked. We would love to do, Paul, close your ears for a minute. We would love to do Real Housewives. But there just isn't, we have so many shows in so little time. I don't know where we're going to fit all these in. But the new episode of, or the new season of Real Housewives Orange County is starting in February. That is the original Real Housewives, and that is one of my favorite Real Housewives. How about you, Dina?
You know, I'm right along with you. I know this is going to be painful to Paul's ears, but I love them. And
I love OC.
You know, I think that was the root of that has happened thus far, and it's phenomenal.
You know, you could do, Dina and Cherry, is put Real Housewives with Manic Mondays and Mob Wives, so that all the guys can kind of go off for a little while and have a beer and then come back.
Well, that would have been great during football season, Joe.
Huh?
That would have been great during football season, but now you're stuck with us, so you just did it for all your male friends.
Can y'all watch something like Bill Dance or something?
It's, you know, because it's like I never watch Dancing with the Stars or anything like that, you know.
Yeah, see, I don't either. We also have Storage Wars. We've got one that Jerry and I watch, Pit Bulls and Parolees.
I love that show.
God, you need another night.
I know. Well, I need like every night of the week to talk about all these shows. And if I do shows every night of the week, then I don't have enough time to watch all the shows that I'm watching.
Hey, Cherry.
Paul.
Just a little bit ago, there was a clip that I forgot when we talked on the phone before the show. There was a clip that I forgot to upload that you got me to record today or yesterday. I have now uploaded it. Would you like to set up the talk?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So I was cooking lunch for my husband yesterday. And now I forgot his name, Paul.
Michael.
Rich?
No, not my husband.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Yes.
Michael Clark Duncan comes on the talk.
He's from Chicago.
And
yes, he is from Chicago, and he won or was nominated for, what was the movie, The Green Mile.
Yes, The Green Mile.
Yeah, he used to work for People's Gas here in our city. And they found him digging holes.
He was homeless, too, for a while.
Yes, he was. Okay, well, you should let the ladies talk.
He comes on, he's talking to Julie, and he starts telling Julie how he is now dating Omarosa. And I'm sure we all remember who Omarosa is.
Omarosa.
So I don't have to tell anybody who that name is.
He must crush her.
Don't give away the clip.
I don't know.
Don't give away what he says. I want to.
I won't.
Okay, go ahead. I'm not going to say nothing.
He starts to tell Julie how him and Omarosa enjoy their TV time. And Paul, I guess you can just go ahead and roll the clip.
Now, you actually met Omarosa in a grocery store. Now, everyone knows her from when she was on The Apprentice. She was kind of the villain.
Yeah.
And you had an interesting opening line.
I walked up to her and I said, oh, you're the mean girl from the show. And she said, yeah, and turned and walked away. And I was like, that's all you could come up with? Way back and I apologized, and it was on after that.
Oh, but she's not, obviously, she must not be like that in person.
No, she's a very sweet woman. I was mad she's not here today, but she is in Miami promoting her magazine, Reality Magazine, that she's the West Coast editor of. So congratulations, baby. And we watched you so much on Big Brother. I didn't watch Big Brother. She's a big fan, and she would say, can we do something tonight that I want to do? I'm like, oh, God. The Lakers are on right now. She's like, can we watch Big Brother? I'm like, I don't want to watch Big Brother. After an hour, I'm like, that guy's a snitch. Next week, I watch this every week, and I've been watching for the last 2 years. So.
Big fan. Oh, I wonder who they meant.
So he's been watching Big Brother now for 2 years with Omarosa.
Well, he'd be great to get on with Michelle for when the season starts.
Doesn't it make you wonder what movie stars are out there that are sitting at home watching Big Brother after hearing that clip? As soon as I heard that, I ran to my phone and grabbed the phone and called Paul, and I was like, Paul, you don't happen to have your DVR on CBS, do you? And he said, yes, I do. So he was able to grab that clip. Gabor, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Love to see you in our chat room. I wish you'd call in and talk to us some night.
Maybe Paul would make an intro for him.
I don't get to play my intros anymore, so.
Oh, okay.
But
one of them had mine.
I thought that was an awesome clip of this about how him and Omarosa sit and watch.
And like I said to Cherry, right? But like I said to Cherry, all he said was, she's a big fan of the show, and I'm thinking, I wonder how many seasons Omarosa has been watching. And both Cherry and I also, as we Big Brother people often wonder, if they just watch the episodes or do they subscribe to the feeds and, you know.
Or Showtime After Dark.
And, of course, if you didn't realize it, one of the lady co-hosts on the show, Sarah Gilbert, is a huge Big Brother fan as well.
True. Same thing with
that. When you're watching that show, you never know what kind of Big Brother info or little Big Brother bits you're going to get. So,
isn't it something else? I mean, could you imagine if they did a Big Brother and they had Omarosa in there?
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
With Evil Dick.
Oh. She,
hey, but remember I brought...
With Russell Hands.
Remember I brought up on the last show... I brought up in the last show how interesting it would be to have the Mob Wives as a celebrity Big Brother house guest throw Omarosa in there, too.
Oh my God. They'd have to be bleeping left and right from those Mob Wives. Well, even her, I mean, you know.
And Evil Dick and Russell Hands?
Yeah, Evil Dick and Russell Hands.
That would be some house.
Paul, by for information.
And Kalia to eat.
What, Dina?
Hey, for your information, and to you as well, to Joe and our chatters, Mob Wives I sent Terry the link the other day. They're going to have a new show. It's called Mob Wives Sit Down. And I believe that premieres, Terry, isn't that before or is it that after the show?
It's just after.
It's yeah, after I saw that. Yeah, thanks, Tina.
It's going to be Big Ange, Drita, and Renee. Yeah.
Yes. There'll be three of them each time. I think it will change up each week.
It's going to be a weekly thing, not just for this next episode?
Correct.
No. Yeah.
It's going to be a weekly thing, and there'll be three of them from the show each week, but it will change up each week.
Yeah, they do that with Jersey Shore.
And they did that tonight. They do it every once in a while.
Yeah, I tape it so I can watch it. But that's great. I think that's that's a moneymaker for them. You know, you can't, you know, that they've started out small and boom, it just took off. It's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, they're talking about how, you know, what a big hit that Mob Wives is this season and that people are just begging for more, so they're giving them more. So that's what they're giving them is, you know, the 30 minutes more with the sit-down show. And I'm sure that it will be a hit. You know, it's going to be something a little less rehearsed. And I'm sure that, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Did anybody get my thing of Jesse?
I did.
You did. Good. Yeah. That league he's in, I just became the Facebook friend with the owner of the company, Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Yeah.
You can look it up on .com, OV Wrestling. And Jesse's going to be with them because that's their TNA's development wrestling. So that means that Jesse will be on TNA probably by summer.
Okay.
And he's using, and you know what, he's smart. He trademarked his name.
Well, real quick, before we go, I'm going to run through the new Survivor contestants and the new Amazing Race contestants and just briefly what it says here about them. There is some change-ups on Survivor this year. Of course, we all know that they're going to be on one island or one beach. And the other thing that's going to be different is that when apparently, I'm having to look over some of my notes here, when they get, there's not going to be a Redemption Island for one thing, but also when they win an immunity idol, they're not going to be able to keep it for themselves. They're going to have to give it to someone from the other tribe.
Wow.
Huh?
Yes.
And it's going to be guys against girls, right?
Okay. The way the hidden immunity idols are played will also be different in season 24. This time, there will be two idols hidden at the camp, one for each tribe. But finding your tribe's idol does not guarantee your safety. Instead, as Probst explains, when you find the idol, you can't use it for yourself. You have to give it to someone from the other tribe. The trick will be picking the right person to give it to and perhaps getting concessions in return, not to mention lobbying for the other team's idol once someone finds it. So you'll have to find the perfect person to give it to from the other team to get concessions from them and hopefully get them to give you their idol if they find it on their team. So
weird.
That's going to be really interesting. That's going to cause a lot of inter-team conflict and communication. I think this living on one tribe or, you know, one island kind of thing is going to be really interesting. And it says...
I think if they're close enough, we're probably going to find people sneaking over to the other tribe to infiltrate.
It's going to be men against women. And they will have to... share resources and basically, you know, fend for themselves. And the players that we're going to have is Nina Acosta, 51, a retired Los Angeles police officer who lives in Clovis, California. Christina Cha, 29, a career consultant from Los Angeles. Monica Culpepper, 41, who lives in Tampa, Florida, and is the wife of a former NFL player. Kate Adorison, 22, a timeshare salesperson from Orlando, Florida. And I'm getting my notes all mixed up here. Chelsea Meisner, 26, a medical sales rep from Charleston, South Carolina. Courtney Moon, 29, a motorcycle repair technician from Austin, Texas. That's pretty cool, a female motorcycle repair tech.
Oh, wow.
Alicia Rosa, 25, a special education teacher from Chicago. Kim Spradlin, 29, a bridal shop owner from San Antonio, Texas. Sabrina Thompson, 33, a high school teacher from Brooklyn, New York. On the men's team, Jay Byers, 25, a model from Gaffney, South Carolina. Colton Cumby, 21, a college student from Monroeville, Alabama.
That's my guy.
Michael Jefferson, 33, a banker from Seattle. Leif Manson, 27, a phlebotomist from San Diego. Jonas Otsuchu, 37, a sushi chef from Lehi, Utah. Bill Posley, 28, a stand-up comedian from Venice, California. Matt Quinlan, 33, a lawyer from San Francisco. Troy Robertson, 50, a swimsuit photographer from Miami. And Greg Smith, 64, a plastic surgeon from Houston. So that wraps up Survivor. The tribe names are going to be Manano and Solani. Solani is the female tribe, and Manano is the men's tribe.
That's going to be interesting this year.
Yeah, it's going to be different than I think any other Survivor we've seen. They've really, really changed it up this year.
In Survivor, isn't it on, like Paul's saying, it's on the 15th. Isn't that the same night that they debut Celebrity Apprentice?
That could be. I'd have to double check.
I have a funny feeling that they're going to put them up against each other.
I hate when they do that.
Yeah. And Tyre looks great, too, you know. They have a lot more younger people, I think, on Tar this year than they had in the past.
I don't know if I'm going to have time to really...
No, you hold off on it because it's, you know...
Everything on everything.
Well, they have started showing little promo commercials for both shows. Have any of the promos for The Amazing Race, has anybody seen Brendan and Rachel in any of the clips yet?
Yes, they actually have interviews online now, Paul, on Facebook.
Oh, online?
Facebook, of everybody.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so they're already on there, and I would be derelict if I didn't say, because House Rodent's in the house. But he's already put out, I don't know if you've seen, a pre-thing for Rachel.
I put a link in earlier.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
We've got on the Amazing Race, we've got Dave Brown Jr., 33, a U.S. Army officer, and Rachel Brown, 30, project manager, married. William Bopper Minton, 41, motorcycle mechanic, and Mark Jackson, 45, former state inspection, best friends. That's a team. Nary, I've never heard that name before. Ebide, 32, federal agent, and Jamie Grates, 33, federal agent. So two federal agents, friends. Brendan and Rachel. Brendan's student and Rachel Riley, event hostess, engaged. Joey Fitness LaSala, and 29, trainer and supplement company owner, and Danny Horrell, 27, nightclub promoter, their friends. Misa Tanaka, 27, car buyer, and Maya Tanaka, 25, professional golfer sisters. Dave Gregg, 44, clown, and Sherry Gregg, 44, clown. They're married, so it's a married clown couple. Elliot Weber, 28, musician, and Andrew Weber, 28, professional soccer player. They're twins. Carrie Paul, 30, program coordinator, and Stacy Bowers, 30, self-employed basketball wife, and says they're cousins. Wait a minute. Self-employed basketball wife, cousins. Okay. Vanessa Macias, 31, freelance writer, and Ralph Kelly, 36, bar owner, dating divorcees.
Uh-huh.
So I guess they're divorced and now dating. Art Velez, 43, Border Patrol agent, and J.J. Carroll, 44, Border Patrol agent. They're friends. So...
yeah, that's going to be good.
I'm surprised that... I was going to say I'm surprised that they did not include in Rachel and Brendan's bios that they were Big Brother, or at least Rachel, winner of Big Brother. You'd think that they would try to grab a bigger audience with that.
Well, it's funny because the photos that have come out, you know, the cast, the whole cast, and I have one on my cover photo, you know, because we all have to turn to timeline this week on Facebook. They're right in dead center and leaning forward, and everybody else is kind of standing up. So I think to some extent, and then like I said, they have one-on-one interviews with every cast or every couple online now. So who knows, right?
That's
and
right.
Then I got a thing from Shelly. I guess Shelly and Adam and Danny and Dominic, Luan, and if I'm not wrong, Porsche are going to be in the parade at Mardi Gras on a float together. So that's, I'd like to go down to New Orleans to see that.
Hosserden says he's working on team names, and he has a couple of good ones so far that will be revealed when we get into the season. He does such great work. I can't wait. I just can't wait.
Yeah, he's great.
He has the very best. As a matter of fact, if I could get his promo up for Manic Monday.
Yeah.
I would play that.
It's funnier than hell.
Paul, can you grab that?
I'm sorry?
You're better at...
say again?
The House Road and promo for Manic Monday?
Right now? Okay, hold on.
I sure would love to be in New Orleans when they
yeah,
go down.
Yeah, me too, Dina.
I would love. Oh my God,
But I don't know if I could handle it. It's too many people,
Oh, no, I love going down there. I've had a great time. I've been lucky enough to go down there 3 times and go down there, get drunk as shit, and not go to jail. That's an accomplishment.
That is an accomplishment, yes.
I've never been there. I would love to go.
Only if we got to ride with them on the float.
I'll throw them on the Tahoe.
Hey, 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 House Rodent fans. HR, the Big Brother House Rodent here, and you're listening to Ron Rad and Michelle. Michelle? My sweet angel, Michelle?
No, HR, Michelle Costa from Big Brother 10.
Yeah, the Michelle who liked to throw pillows and had trouble saying water. Oh, I remember her, the Portuguese princess.
That's right, HR, and you would have known that sooner if you just read the script instead of staring at pictures of Rachel and trying to do an ad-lib.
One of these days, squirrel, I'm going to shave your tail and bring you down to earth with the rest of us.
Just read the script, HR.
You're listening to Manic Monday on the Rad Reality Show with Ron Rad and Michelle Costa. Happy night, you stupid squirrel.
It's just another Manic Monday. Oh, what a Sunday. Because today is one of Michelle's fun days. When they talk about...
Chip, stop singing. You're going to make people's dogs howl.
Oh, you're no fun, Uncle HR.
Make sure you all join us on Manic Monday for Michelle Costa and our Manic Monday show at 7 p.m. Eastern.
And don't forget Mob Wives.
And you can always find, thank you, House Rodent, you can find the House Rodent individual CDs or DVDs, I'm sorry, on YouTube, and he just put a link up in our chat room on YouTube, and they are well worth it. Believe me, if you get the DVDs, they are so much fun.
And he's funny in person, but you just got to watch out so you don't step on him.
Oh, my, Joe.
Well,
he's a great guy.
When when you're in a small hotel.
He's a wonderful guy. I could sit and talk to him forever.
Yes, he is. Now all he has to do is okay my friend request. How's that, Paul?
Yeah.
Sitting there waiting for him. But, I think the biggest surprise I've gotten out of this off time, and I have to really thank you, Dina, it wasn't the Mob Wives. it's the redneck, my redneck vacation.
Now, repeat yourself, young man.
That says, I think I have to thank you because... During this off season, sometimes it gets real boring, and you turned us all on to my redneck vacation. And everybody's got to watch this show.
You like it better than Mob Wives, Joe?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Yes, I do. Because there's too much, you know what? Mob Wives is one way. It can be very rough.
Yeah, there is a lot of violence on it.
And it's okay. I don't mind it that much because I just grew up with guys that were like that, being from Chicago. But you don't laugh really that much at Mob Wives as you do with my redneck vacation. And as Paul says, when they freeze frame and they bring Tom Arnold up for a one-liner, oh, my God, it's just so funny. And
I thought you were saying, Joe, I thought I caught the last of it. I was looking on the chat, and I thought you said that you liked the redneck much the theme song better than Mob Wife. I was like, okay, I'm on
the redneck right now,
checking you into the hospital.
No, I think the theme song is great.
Oh yeah,
but the show overall, maybe I'm speaking too soon, but I just think this is going to be. I hope they pull a different group from around the nation, you know, every year if it goes over, because Tom Arnold doesn't usually have a good run on shows, but I think this one will really work.
And I think you just hit the nail on the head. If America, there's a lot of people in America, and especially with times being as rough that it is now,
uh-huh.
People cannot travel, and you cannot go and experience. And that this gives a different outlook into different homes throughout America. We get to see Louisiana this way, although it be crazy through the Hamptons. With Mob Wives, you just hit it. This is what you grew up with.
Yeah.
This is what I grew up with. And I'm biting my fingernails just hoping to pray to God that the hog jaws doesn't show up on the dinner table, which at one point in time it will. I'm waiting for them to break out the moonshine and not get arrested for it.
They do break that out, I think. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You don't live in the South unless you've got just a tad of it somewhere hidden in the house.
I think, yeah, they make it, yeah. Because I think they turn on, they had that part, they have a party, a get-to-know-your-neighbor party next week, and they pour that out.
Yes, yes.
That's what I think is happening next week.
I wish, you know, like I don't, like where Paul lives in Minnesota, I don't know a family up there. I think it would be great to see a family like that other than the AB show, switch wives or switch families or whatever. I'd like to see more and more of that. And if reality is going to go in such a way where they're taking off all the, you know, syndicated shows and they're putting on reality, let's see some shows like this. And I say hip, hip, hooray for them.
Yeah, I do too. How do you feel about that, Cherry?
I agree, but it's about time that we...
I figured you... I was giving you your cue.
Yes, about 2 minutes down, and we have got to close the show with a clip. So I've got to say goodnight to everyone and let Ron close the show. So I want to thank you, Dina, and thank you, Joe, for calling in tonight. It's been a blast having you both on.
Thank you. I really do.
Well, thank you so much, you both, for calling in. It's been so much fun having you both on the phone line with us tonight. And, Paul, I apologize for not being able to use the closer that you made for us tonight, but it was... A very, very long one, and I just wasn't able to get to it in time tonight.
Understood.
So I will close with a much shorter version tonight, and we will get to that one on another day when we do close with a five-minute clip. But tonight I'll do something a little shorter. And I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. I hope you all have a safe and fun weekend. Be back with us on Monday for Manic Monday. You all have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you on Monday. Thank you.
Bye now.
With us. Good night, everyone.
And this show was brought to you.
Thank you, everyone. I'm signing off, too. I'm going to finish off the show with... Oh, man, what am I going to finish off with tonight? I got lots of stuff I can finish off with tonight. But you know what I'm going to finish off with tonight? I'm going to do this one. Sweet dreams.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
care. God bless.
All right.